the tuna fleets clearing the sea out. See the bedroom fires at night. See the oil fields at first light. And see the bird with a leaf in her mouth. After the flood, all the colors came out.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping well this morning and you had a great weekend. We have a great show ahead of you this morning. We're going to talk about things like fatty liver disease, what it is, how it's caused, and also ways that we can avoid it. We're also going to have a chat about the hidden sugars in 7 very common types of food. I'm sure many of you that are on a health kick out there, or those of you that generally don't add sugar to your food, are very conscious about the amount of sugar that you do consume. But it's actually quite interesting that hidden sugars are put in everyday foods. And it's estimated that around 80% of foods in supermarkets have sugars added to them. So we're going to talk about that in about half an hour. And we also have our special guest on this morning, Julie Murray. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Neil.
Julie is from JM Hypnotherapy, and Julie is going to be explaining a bit more about what hypnotherapy is, what it does, how it can help you, and also we're going to talk about hypnobirthing as well. So I must admit, I don't know much about that, so I'm very much looking forward to that this morning. And we'll be talking to Julie around 25 to 12. So a bit of housekeeping before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you as ways to improve your own health with simple tips and advice. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health, or if you require medical or other expert assistance, you should speak to a suitably qualified health professional, in which many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking to your pharmacist or talking to your doctor. All the content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, experience and my opinion, and I specifically disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or the application of the content of the show. Right, that's this small print out the way. So let's have a chat about fatty liver. Now, lots of people have fatty liver and don't even realise it. And it's estimated that around a quarter of the population have this condition called fatty liver. And fatty liver is very much linked to obesity. It's estimated that around 90% of people who are obese have fatty liver disease. But fatty liver disease comes in two forms. You have alcoholic fatty liver disease, which, as the name implies, is caused by excess alcohol consumption. And then you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So people actually don't drink a lot of alcohol, but consume fatty foods or they consume too much sugar, can end up with this condition called fatty liver. So fatty liver disease, as the name implies, is a build-up of fat in the liver. So it's quite normal to have some amount of fat in your liver, but too much can be a health problem. So just to explain to you for a moment what the liver is. The liver is your second largest organ in the body. So the liver's function is to process everything we eat and everything we drink and to filter out any harmful substances from the blood and to excrete them, to get rid of them. But that process of filtration gets interrupted if there's too much fat in your liver. And fatty liver is actually a condition that happens when around 5 to 10% of your liver's weight is actually made up of that fat. Now, the good thing is that fatty liver disease is actually reversible, providing you know you've got it and you deal with it. If you leave it for too long, fatty liver disease can leave permanent damage on the liver. It leaves permanent scarring, and then that condition of permanent scarring is called cirrhosis. But the liver is an amazing organ. It's one of the few organs that does have the ability to repair itself. So if you think you've got fatty liver disease, if you can relate to some of the symptoms that I'm going to go over in a moment, then perhaps you should look at your lifestyle, look at your diet, and maybe perhaps take some action, because if you have got the onset of fatty liver disease, the great thing is it can be reversed. As I mentioned, fatty liver has no direct symptoms, but what you might experience is some sort of fatigue or perhaps a bit of pain in that in the area where the liver sits in the body. If you have an X-ray or you have a scan, they may say that your liver is slightly enlarged, but you'll only know that if you have a physical examination. Excess fat in the liver can cause inflammation, and if your liver becomes inflamed, you might get symptoms. For example, you might find that you have a poor appetite. You might find that you've got weight loss, unexplained weight loss. As I mentioned, you might find that you have got abdominal pain. You might have physical weakness. You might suffer with fatigue, or you might find that you get confused a lot. That sort of muddiness in the brain. Those are all symptoms that, you know, in isolation are not necessarily linked to fatty liver disease. But if you can identify with a few of those, then it might be something that you might want to go and check out, particularly if you drink a lot of alcohol or you haven't got a very good diet. So fatty liver disease develops when the body creates too much fat and it cannot metabolize that fat fast enough. So the fat is stored in the liver cells directly, which is obviously where it accumulates and where fatty liver develops. So if you've got a high-fat, high-sugar diet, they've actually been proven to not directly result in fatty liver disease, but it's been suggested that a high-sugar, high-fat diet might contribute towards fatty liver disease. So besides alcoholism, some other causes of fatty liver disease include obesity, hyperlipidemia. Hyperlipidemia is high levels of fat in the blood. Diabetes, excessive sugar intake, genetic inheritance. If you have a genetic inheritance towards fatty liver, that can increase the risk. And also, it's quite interesting that the side effects of some medications can induce fatty liver disease. And these medications include things like aspirin, some steroids, tamoxifen and tetracycline. So if you're on those drugs, it might be worth talking to your doctor and having a chat with them. And as I mentioned, around 90% of people who are technically obese have fatty liver disease. And the really scary thing is there is actually no drugs you can take at the moment to cure fatty liver disease. There are some drugs that are going through clinical trials at the moment. And obviously, the big pharmaceutical companies see this as a huge opportunity. And it's been estimated that they think that treatment of fatty liver disease through drugs is going to be worth around £35 billion a year. So how do you deal with fatty liver disease? Well, if you've got the onset of fatty liver disease, one of the easiest ways to deal with it is to start to lose weight, specifically start to lose body fat. If you start to lose body fat, then you do reduce the risk of developing fatty liver disease. An obvious one as well is reducing alcohol consumption. Alcohol consumption directly contributes towards fatty liver disease. So if you're drinking more than the recommended weekly amount, which is around 10 units for a woman and around 14 units for a man, so maybe a drink or two per day if you like to drink daily. And when you consider that a bottle of wine is around 9 to 10 units, you can see how it doesn't take a lot to drink too much alcohol in any given week. So reduce your alcohol consumption down and lose a bit of body fat as well. Avoid regular overeating if you eat too much, particularly sugary carbohydrates. And when we look at sugars, and we're going to talk about sugars in about 10 minutes, if you look at things like high fructose corn syrup is incredibly damaging to the body. So start to read the food labels for the foods that you're eating and try to cut down on sugary carbohydrates. But there's also preventative measures you can take as well. There's certain nutrients that help reduce and help turn around fatty liver disease. And one of those is curcumin. And we spoke about curcumin a couple of shows ago. And curcumin is an incredibly powerful anti-inflammatory. And actually, curcumin helps to stop the damage and those cellular changes that lead to fatty liver disease. Also, milk thistle is good for you as well. And milk thistle helps to block the toxins from liver cells, and it also speeds up the regeneration of damaged liver cells as well. And sesame, which is an oil, it protects liver from toxins. It also protects against other causes of liver disease as well. So fatty liver disease, another condition, and we spoke a few shows ago about high blood pressure, we spoke about high cholesterol, and we spoke about high blood sugars. And these are things that go undetected for a long time, or can go undetected for up to 10 years before people get symptoms. And by the time they get those symptoms, then they're normally in quite a lot of trouble. And again, fatty liver disease is another condition that, for the most part, goes undetected. So maybe it is a good time to reflect on your diet, what you eat, what you drink, your lifestyle, and perhaps take preventative action and improve your diet, improve your lifestyle, so that you do reduce the risk of fatty liver disease. And if you are worried about it, if you have a cause for concern, again, perhaps talk to your local pharmacist, not necessarily your doctor, or dial 111 for advice, and take the action that you need to turn that around. So hopefully you found that information interesting and useful this morning. So for those of you that follow the show page on Twitter, you'll know that this week I'm taking you back to 1979 with a few hits from Pink Floyd, from The Buggles, and also from Rainbow. I'm going to play the first song in a second, but before we come on to the first song, just a reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. So if you'd like to tweet in to say hello, if you would like a shout out, I'm more than happy to give you a shout out on air. And we have a few tweets that have come in this morning, so I'll be reading those out over the course of the show. And if you'd like to follow the show on Facebook, if you search Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page. And if you like the page, you'll be kept up to date with future shows and future events. And if you'd like to contact me directly away from the show, my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can find my contact me page, and you can drop me an email from there. So as I mentioned, 1979, it's a year that I remember well. And the first song from 1979 that we have for you this morning is Pink Floyd, and Another Brick in the Wall.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest this morning, Julie Murray from JM Hypnotherapy. Hi, Julie.
Hiya,
Neil. We'll be finding out more about what Julie does and about hypnotherapy and hypnobirthing in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned. We have a few shout-outs this morning, so we've had some tweets in, which is great. So I'm going to go through those. I'm going to go through some now. And then I've got a few more to go through in about 25 minutes. So, firstly, the One You shop in Ashford, specifically directed towards local businesses who want to improve health in the workplace. They are offering free advice and free help for employers in Kent. So, if you're able to pop down to the One You shop, which is in Park Mall, in Ashford, just round the corner from the tank, then please do so. Have a chat to their specialists down there. They can help you put together a healthy workplace program, but they can also help with things like helping to stop smoking. They can help with healthy weight management. They can give you free MOTs, body MOTs, blood pressure checks, and they can give you support and advice on a range of lifestyle issues. The opening hours are 9:30 till 5, Tuesday to Friday, and 9:30 to 1 on a Saturday. So pop in, have a chat to those specialists down at the One You shop in Ashford and see what help that they can give you. We also have the Wellbeing Symposium coming up on the 21st of February at the Ashford International Hotel. So the Wellbeing Symposium is a place to learn and hear the latest thinking on health and well-being, and also to network and exchange ideas. If you'd like to find out more about the Wellbeing Symposium, you can find them on Twitter, which is @wellbeing_2018. So @wellbeing_2018. You can also go to the website, which is www.thewellbeingsymposium.co.uk. So if you contact them, you'll be able to find out more about the Wellbeing Symposium and you'll be able to book tickets for their event on the 21st of February. Have a shout out for Victoria Sheridan. Victoria's having, she's running a stand and a workshop at the Best You Expo at Olympia in Kensington on Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th of February. So she'll be there on her stand and her business is The Secret Calm, for that two-day event, and she'll also be speaking at the Empowering Women's Zone at 12 o'clock on Saturday the 17th. So if you'd like to find out more about what Victoria does or find out more about the expo in Olympia on the 16th and 17th of February, the website address is for the expo, it's www.thebestyouexpo.com, and Victoria's website is www.thesecretcalm.com. So that's www.thebestyouexpo.com and www.thesecretcalm.com. You can also contact Victoria by email, victoria@thesecretcalm.com. And we have another shout out for Anya Jeffries. So Anya is running a female entrepreneurs adventure expedition from the 13th to the 20th of October this year. And the expedition is aimed not only at business owners, but all women who want to leave an impactful footprint on this world for the next generation. This is for women who want to collaborate on new business ventures overseas or in the UK, who want to mentor other business owners, and most importantly, hit the pause button and reflect on their business and personal goals, and to also reflect on who they are, what they want from life, their purpose, their impact, and their impact that being born has made on everyone around them. So it's also an opportunity to meet other like-minded individuals with a growth mindset who want to build a stronger community, give back, pay it forward, and be a woman of true collaboration. So if you're interested in contacting Anya about her Female Entrepreneurs Adventure Expedition, you can find her on Facebook if you search Next Step Mentor 123, or you can email Anya at nextstepmentor123@gmail.com. Right, okay. So on to the next part of the show. I'm going to talk to you about the spectre of hidden sugars and seven foods that you might eat on a daily basis that have a lot of hidden hidden sugars in them, and you may not even realise. So most people now realise the link between obesity, bad health and sugar consumption. And lots of people that I talk to have made a conscious effort to reduce down the amount of sugar that they consciously put into food. But they actually don't realise the amount of sugar that's in the food already. So this is particularly highly processed foods, foods that we tend to buy in cans or packets or junk food. There is a lot of hidden sugars in the food that we eat. So unless you've got a really good diet, you consciously make an effort to eat whole foods, so lean proteins, healthy fats, fruits, vegetables and whole grains, you're probably eating sugar and you don't even realise it. And the thing is that the food industry has got very, very cute to what we like, what tastes good, and also what's quite addictive. So these tend to be foods that are high in fat, high in salt, and also high in sugar. And those ingredients are designed to make the food more palatable, but also to make you crave more. And this is often a scientific exercise as well, using scientists to actually perfect the art of food addiction. So before we get into the seven foods where you might find hidden sugars, I'd just like to very briefly explain the difference between carbohydrates and sugars, okay? Because there are two types of carbohydrates. We have what we call good carbohydrates, so complex carbohydrates, and also simple carbohydrates or bad sugars, if you like. So all carbohydrates get broken down in the body to some form of sugar, and it gets broken down into glucose. And the problem is how quickly those carbohydrates get broken down into glucose. That's really where the issue lies. So there's carbohydrates in things like vegetables and fruits, and they're generally good carbohydrates. And they hold water, they hold vitamins and minerals, they have fibre. So all these things are good for us. Green leafy vegetables, dark fruits, they all help to stabilise blood sugar. Starchy vegetables, beans, they all have a good place in our diet. But bad carbohydrates come in processed and packaged food, and also sugary foods and sugary drinks as well. So things like cookies, cakes, biscuits, ice cream, chocolate, candy bars, fruit drinks, fizzy drinks, they tend to be very high in sugar and very low in nutrients. But it's actually interesting where you'll also find hidden sugars in foods that are purported to be healthy as well. And we're going to cover a few of those in a moment. So next time you're at the supermarket, start to read your food labels, because if your food's high in sugar, you should be aware of it and you should be conscious about what you actually eat and what you drink. So as a general rule of thumb, if a food has less than 5 grams per 100 grams of sugar, so 5 grams of sugar per 100 grams of product, that's generally classed as being low sugar. And if it has more than 22.5 grams of sugar per 100 grams of product, then that's classed as being high sugar. And obviously medium sugar is somewhere in between. So if you're consciously trying to cut down on your sugar intake, it's a good practice to actually start reading your food labels and look at where these hidden sugars are. So the first of these areas of hidden sugar is actually teas and coffees. Now, plain tea and plain coffee aren't necessarily an issue. And if you're making tea and coffee at home, you obviously have complete control over what goes into that drink. I would tend to advise people to not add sugar to tea and coffee, but the biggest problem comes when you drink tea and coffee away from home. So if you go to well-known coffee chains that shall remain nameless, for example, some of their drinks, even if you don't add sugar to them, can be ridiculously high in sugar already. And before Christmas, I did mention about a particular coffee drink that had 1,000 calories in it, which is ridiculous. But even the run-of-the-mill coffee at some of these chains can contain up to 25 teaspoons of sugar. Now, when you put that in perspective, that's more than twice the amount of sugar that's in the can of Coke. So it's quite an horrific amount of sugar. And then, I observe people sometimes, and then they add sugar to this sugary drink. So it's not a good situation by any means. And when you consider that the recommended amount is around 30 grams of sugar per day. 25 teaspoons is close to 100 grams. It's a lot of sugar that you can actually drink, even if you don't add sugar to your coffee and tea. So when you're out at some of these coffee chains, take the time to read the nutrient values of the drinks that you're about to have, and perhaps take a view on it and make a smart choice. Okay, the second area is granola. Now, granola is marketed as a healthy breakfast, but it has a lot of sugar in it. Did you know that? And actually, if you compare certain types of granola to run-of-the-mill cereals, for example, like Rice Krispies, the granola can have over twice the amount of sugar in it compared to Rice Krispies. Now, granola is marketed as being a healthy option because it's got whole oats in it, it's got nuts and seeds and other things that, yes, they are good for you, but granola, in my opinion, shouldn't be marketed as being healthy because it has a lot of sugar in it. And when you add in artificial ingredients and you consider the added sugars in granola, and also some granola comes with dried fruit, you can see how the sugar content can rapidly increase. And also, because of the fat in granola and sometimes the added sugar, you tend to find that that granola tends to be more calorific than other cereals. So it's worth looking, you know, again, looking at your food label and actually considering how many calories and how much sugar is in the granola that you're eating. So protein bars. I'm going to cover protein bars in more detail next week because they're marketed as being healthy. But actually, some of these are not quite as healthy as they would like you to believe. So yes, some of these bars do contain protein. Obviously, that's the reason why people buy them. Some of them contain vitamins and minerals, but often they are packed with fillers. They're packed with white flour. They also are packed with high fructose corn syrup. And high fructose corn syrup is not good for the body. Some of them have molasses. Some of them have honey in them, some of them have brown sugar, and some of them have artificial sweeteners. So on the one hand, you've got a bar that purports to be healthy and full of protein, but actually when you read the label, you tend to find that they are full of sugar as well. So again, read the food label, look at what you're eating, be accountable for what you put into your mouth. And actually, when you actually look at these protein bars, aside from the protein, the nutrient value, the sugar value, can be very, very similar to the average candy bar. So it's definitely worth looking at. But I will cover protein bars in more detail on next week's show. So fruit juice. I do a lot of networking. And for those of you that know me and that network with me, you'll understand why I'm quite anti-fruit juice. So fruit juice is essentially squeezed fruit without the fiber. Yes, there is a bit of vitamin C in it, but taking the fiber out and some of the other added nutrients essentially turns what is healthy, i.e. a piece of fruit, for example, an orange, and turns it into a glass full of sugar. And actually, pound for pound, when you look at fruit juice and you compare it to, say, cola-flavoured drinks, there are very similar amounts of sugar in both. So don't be fooled that fruit juice is a healthy option. It really, really isn't. It's just liquid sugar. So again, read the food labels, look at the amount of sugar that you're drinking, and then make a smart choice. And some fruit juice actually contains sweeteners. So, you know, if you look at aspartame and other artificial sweeteners, they're not too good for you either. Low-fat snacks and ready meals. Now, fat-free desserts, low-fat biscuits, the calorie-counted ready meals that you can buy in supermarkets. I see lots of people buying these because they think they're making the smarter choice. The problem is when you take fat out of food, it loses a lot of flavour and it loses a lot of texture as well. And what manufacturers do is to offset the reduction in fat, they often add sugar or sugar derivatives into these foods. So they reduce the fat down, they reduce the calories down, but they increase the amount of sugar. So again, read the food labels. You know, there really is a common theme here of reading the food labels and understanding what you're eating. But when you actually look at the link between fat as we know it as a foodstuff and fat as in the fat in our body, so fat the verb and fat the adjective, so fat the noun and fat the adjective, they're completely separate things. There is no link between the fat that we eat, the unsaturated and polyunsaturated good fats, and an increase in weight gain. So if you're going to go for the low-fat or the no-fat yogurts, for example, take the time to read the food labels and really understand what you're eating and see how much added sugar has been added to those foods. Sauces and condiments, tomato ketchup and brown sauce are two of the biggest culprits of added sugars. And in fact, some brands of brown sauce have five different types of sugar in it. So we're looking at sugars from dates and tomatoes, but then some have high fructose corn syrup, some have sugar in them, and some have molasses in them as well. And it's quite scary how much of a percentage of some of these condiments, some of these ketchups, some of these brown sauces, some of these barbecue sauces, and also the vinaigrette dressings have added sugar to them. Some of them are a really high percentage, as much as a quarter of the content of the sauce can be sugar. So definitely worth looking at the food labels again and making smarter choices. And finally, alcohol. There is sugar in alcohol. We've already covered fatty liver disease and alcohol consumption, but there is a lot of sugar in alcohol. So it's worth looking at your alcohol consumption. And if you drink enhanced liqueurs, you know, for example, creme de menthe or pina coladas. I mean, creme de menthe has 21 grams of sugar in it in a 1.5 ounce shot. And the pina colada has 28 grams of sugar in it, nearly as much as a can of Coke. So it's definitely worth looking at your alcohol consumption and also the type of alcohol that you drink as well. So cutting down on your drink is a good course of action, or maybe eliminate alcohol altogether if that's practical. And I would suggest eliminating alcohol altogether if you're on a weight loss program. So how do you get around it? How do you reduce the amount of sugar in your diet? Well, one of the ways, and I've gone over it many, many times this morning, is read your food labels. Understand what you're eating. Look at the sugar content of the foods you're eating, because you may not be adding sugar to your diet, but it may be creeping its way in very insidiously, and you may not even realise it. And eat proper food. If you fill your diet with processed foods, with low nutrient foods, they really tend to be high in sugar. So don't eat packaged foods and cut down your processed food consumption. And not only will you benefit from reducing down your sugar consumption in the short term, but it's also good for your health as well. And sugar comes in many, many different forms. So, for example, and this list isn't exhaustive, corn sugar, dextrose, fructose, glucose, high fructose corn syrup, honey, maple syrup, invert sugar, isoglucose, maltose, lactose, molasses, sucrose, anything that really ends in O's will be a form of sugar. So look out for those on your food labels. Okay, time for song number two in our trip back to 1979. It's a classic from the Buggles, Video Killed the Radio Star.
On the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Video killed the radio star. interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping well out there. I have with me today my special guest, Julie Murray from JM Hypnotherapy. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Neil.
So before we go on to interview Julie and find out more about what she does, just a few more shout outs. Thank you all for tweeting in. We have a tweet here from Stuart Weller, my friend Stuart, who is a fantastic magician. And Stuart said, "Hi, Neil, would love a shout out for me if possible, please. For anyone who would like some amazing magical entertainment in Kent." So Stuart does magic for parties, for weddings and special events, and also for corporate events as well. And you can follow Stuart on Twitter, and his handle is at @StuEntertains. So that's at @StuEntertains on Twitter. You can also hashtag Stuart, which is hashtag Kent Magic, and you can find Stuart's website, which is www.stuartweller.co.uk. Another tweet here from another friend of mine, Ben Leach from BLIT Solutions. BLIT Solutions are a premier IT solutions company in Kent. They provide IT service and support 7 days a week, and they also provide kit as well. And you can find Ben on Facebook at BLIT Solutions. You can find him on Twitter, which is at BLIT Solutions. And also, Ben's website is BLIT-IT-Solutions.co.uk. So if you have any IT needs, or you've got a question or need some service or support for your kit, give Ben a call. Also had a tweet in from Jules Serkin. Hi, Jules. Good to hear from you. Jules on Twitter is at Jules Serkin, if you'd like to follow her on Twitter. And we'll have to catch up soon, Jules. It'd be good to have a coffee and a catch up with you. Also had a tweet from Paul Harrison, a good friend of mine from Honey Legal, who Paul helps with things like will writing and what have you. Paul can be found on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is at Yorkie, Y-O-R-K-I-E, at Yorkie 808. Also had a tweet in from Love Ashford, which is at Love-Ashford. And Love Ashford is home of Ashford's Digital High Street. So great to hear from you, and thank you for tweeting in. And a couple of quick shout-outs for a couple of networking events that are coming up in the next couple of days. On Tuesday the 6th of February from 6 o'clock, we have the Kent Chamber of Commerce After Hours networking meeting. It's actually free at the Conningbrook Hotel from 6 o'clock. And actually, I'm hosting that, so it'd be good to see you over there at the Conningbrook on Tuesday the 6th of February from 6 o'clock. And on Wednesday the 7th of February, my good friend Terry Botfield is hosting the Romney Marsh networking meeting at the Cinqueport Arms in New Romney. If you go to Facebook and search Romney Marsh Networking Group, you'll be able to find more details about Terry's networking event from 10 o'clock on Wednesday the 7th of February at the Cinqueport Arms in New Romney. Okay, so that's it for the shout-outs. Now we're going to have a chat to my special guest, Julie. We're here at last. Thank you for coming on the show. So Julie is a hypnotherapist. So I'm sure most of you think you know what hypnotherapy is, but we're going to go into a bit more detail about what it is, what it does, and how it can help you potentially, or someone that you know. And we're also going to have a quick chat about hypnobirthing as well. So Julie, let's start at the beginning. How do you get into hypnotherapy, and what's your background prior to that?
Hi, Neil. Thanks for inviting me. Okay, well, I love hypnotherapy, and before that, I was a social worker.
Okay.
For thousands of years. Well, many years anyway, working for the local authority, both in London and in Kent. And then I moved to Kent, and I had to learn to drive. Oh, my goodness. Nerves at taking a driving test. So I then thought about hypnotherapy. Well, can that work for nerves? Anyway, it did. I passed on lucky number.
Wow.
13.
Was it really?
Yeah. I wish I'd had it before, but there we go.
So expensive.
Yes, indeed. That's how I got into hypnotherapy, because I knew that it worked. So after a little while, I went and did some training. And although I still do little bits of social work for a couple of fostering agencies, I mainly now concentrate on hypnotherapy and hypnobirthing.
Wow. And it is amazing how many of us in the health industry have kind of got into doing what we do because of our own personal experience.
Yes, indeed.
And obviously you've proven that it actually worked. 13 driving tests.
Yes. Lucky number 13.
I know. But you got there in the end. So, yes. That's very good. So to go on to hypnotherapy itself, mm-hmm. Before we talk about how it can help people, do you want to explain to listeners actually what is hypnotherapy? Because there is a stereotype out there. I think Little Britain did a sketch show, look into my eyes, look into my eyes. And we kind of get that stereotypical, look into my eyes or follow the moving clock mm-hmm. sort of idea of hypnotherapy. Yes. And certainly from my research, nothing can be further from the truth. So perhaps you can explain and cut through the myth and actually explain what hypnotherapy really is.
Yes, well, hypnotherapy has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, in fact. It's not anything new. And it's a good thing and a bad thing that it's on television so much with that stage hypnosis, because the last thing I ever do is wave something in front of people's eyes or get them to look into my eyes. In fact, sometimes when I meet people, they don't want to look into my eyes, just in case. But no, it's a form of deep relaxation.
Okay.
And it works with the subconscious part of the brain, not the conscious brain that's always going on thinking. It works with the subconscious that looks after us when we're asleep. So because of that, it's a very, very relaxing process. And people relax so much that they have tingling hands afterwards, so their body feels really, really heavy. So most people quite enjoy that part of going into hypnosis. And although they're in hypnosis, they can still hear exactly what I'm saying. And they could stop at any time. And if I fell down dead, they'd still come round. So they don't go to sleep. They actually hear everything that I say.
Excellent. So just going back to the subconscious part of the brain, how powerful is that part of the brain? Because, people don't realise, I understand psychology, and I do understand what the subconscious brain does, but I don't think people really realise the immense power behind that part of the brain. So what is the subconscious brain, and how does it control people?
Well, it's huge, actually. You have all our memories in there, and although we can't get rid of memories, I can help people change how they respond to those. And so the subconscious will have things from our childhood that actually sometimes still affect us today that we're not aware of. And with hypnotherapy, that can come out as well and help people.
Okay.
So it's very good for releasing past issues that people have blocking them in this time.
I guess sometimes people don't even realise that they have an issue.
No, they don't.
Some of these deep-seated... Mm-hmm. Things that we almost package away and compartmentalise, but we don't realise how much they are still controlling our behaviours and our actions and our thoughts, even though they're not in our the conscious part of our mind.
No, that's true. I had a gentleman come to me for anger issues, and he couldn't work out why he just got angry sometimes. It wasn't in his personality, he didn't feel. It turned out it was an incident when he was 7 years old. He was bullied at school.
Really?
By two boys. So we went back to that and we sorted that out, and then he was fine. So,
wow.
It's powerful stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in dealing with issues that perhaps some people have, what other ways can hypnotherapy help people with, say, habits or addictions and things like that?
Okay, well, it's about reprogramming the brain, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to things and it can program new thoughts in. As I said, you can't get rid of memories, but you can change how you approach them. And for something like, say, smoking, it's about putting positive messages into that brain and being quite surprised. When I had it for my driving test, I remember the hypnotist said, "You'll wake up looking forward to your driving test." And I thought, yeah. But actually I did, and so
and you passed as well.
And I passed.
So what about things like people with food addictions? Obviously smoking is a big one.
Yes.
And we know how incredibly addictive nicotine is. But what about people's food cravings? How can hypnotherapy help them?
Well, I've seen someone quite recently who only ate bad food, and he wanted to eat healthier food, and he just couldn't do it. And the last time I saw him for his final session, he told me very proudly he'd eaten some spinach, and it was okay. It was just green.
Okay.
So it got rid of that fear. I've also worked with children who don't want to vary their diet at all, and it helps with that as well.
Fantastic. And what about phobias and fears? Have you got any examples of perhaps people that have, I guess a very common one is being scared of spiders, but I'm sure there's other fears and phobias out there, some that are probably quite rational and some are like incredibly unrational or irrational, I should say. Have you got any examples of any clients you've dealt with
yeah,
fears
certainly.
And phobias?
One of my favourite ones is a woman who came to me with a fear of mice. She'd always had a fear of mice.
Okay.
And we talked about it, and I worked out how to sort of help her with that, really. And she had two sessions, and after the first session, she was able to tolerate being in a room with a mouse. Her cat kept bringing them in, by the way. And after the second one, she was able to pick up a mouse and put it outside. So that was really good. I had another time, I had a nurse come to me who suddenly developed a fear of blood. Well, as you can imagine, that's no good
no,
if you're a nurse.
No.
So, yeah, I got rid of that for her. So it's all sorts of fears. Sometimes irrational. I have had people frightened of driving on the motorway, a fear of that, and so that helps with that. Any tiny thing, really, or a huge thing. It doesn't matter. If they want to make that change, then hypnosis can help.
And how many sessions does it take? I mean, does it really depend on the individual? Do some people connect and click on the first session, and perhaps some people take a bit longer?
It depends very much on the issue that they come with.
Right.
If I have to go back into a previous childhood with them when mm-hmm. they're smaller, or sometimes it can be fairly straightforward.
Okay.
Like even with weight loss, say. I usually do three sessions, and it's not about me being an expert on food, although I do know a fair bit, but it's about changing the mindset,
right.
really, and helping them change their views on what they eat and the exercise they take.
Absolutely. Mindset is very, very important.
Yeah.
So we mentioned, we were having a chat pre-show, and we were talking about your plans for 2018, and we were talking about hypnobirthing.
Yes.
Now, I know a little bit about hypnobirthing, but you obviously plan to develop that part of the business throughout this year.
Yes,
so
I'd love to.
Perhaps you could explain a bit more about what hypnobirthing is.
Yes, I think people tend to think of it when they hear about it as some fancy thing that I hypnotise someone, go to the birth and they have the baby, but it's nothing like that at all, actually. It's a two-day course that I offer for the pregnant woman and her birthing partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit like an antenatal class in a way, although I'm not medically qualified and will refer to midwives and doctors if necessary. But it's telling them about their body, what to expect, exercises to do, and things to practice. Positive affirmations, showing them DVDs of a hypnobirthing birth, and knowing that they can actually do that themselves. It's about creating a birthing plan so they can be clear when they go to the hospital. And I always make sure they know that they can obviously have medical intervention if they need to. I'm not anti that at all. It's just giving them that bit of control so they know what's happening to them and it's not scary. It's the very opposite to one born every minute.
Fantastic. Very, very interesting. And you also mentioned, and we'll touch on it very briefly, about past life regression. I find
yes.
that quite fascinating, but it's not another service that you offer. Perhaps you can tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, and that's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Some people don't believe in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
But if for those that do, it is very interesting because I can take someone right back to previous lives that they've lived before and ask them questions. So they will tell me about that life and I write down what they say and then they go away with it. Sometimes there's a connection with a person in this life and a person in the previous life. Sometimes their husband might turn out to have been their father in a previous life or someone they knew, all sorts of things like that. It gets rid of curiosity, really, for them.
Yeah, very interesting. So who would be your ideal client?
Well, Neil, I just love everybody, really. I love working with children. And because I'm still a registered social worker, I have DBS checks, so I'm quite safe.
Okay.
And I love working with teenagers because they're very open to it. An 18-year-old girl said to me the other day, she thought hypnotherapy was a bit zen.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's good. And yes, older age group, I say my oldest client so far has been 87.
Right.
I helped him with a sleep problem. So yes, it's anyone and everything. And of course, at the moment, I'd like to develop more with pregnant women and helping them have a fear-free birth.
Excellent, excellent. So essentially, why should people come to you? Obviously, you are an expert in your field, and I think that's been proven. But why would someone come to you? Why would they choose you? What do you offer?
Well, I'm non-judgmental, mm-hmm. I'm friendly. I'm very professional and confidential about things. So I wouldn't go talking about them, obviously. And I would listen and work with them on an individual basis.
Fantastic. So if people want to get in contact with you, if they've got any issues that we've highlighted this morning, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay. Well, they can phone me anytime, and the number is 0777-350-2399.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can email me personally, or they can contact me via the website, and they'll find the details of my email and phone number on my website, which is jmhypnotherapy.co.uk.
Fantastic. It's been very, very interesting. Thank you for coming in this morning, Julie. It's been great to learn more about hypnotherapy, about hypnobirthing as well, and also about past life regression. So if you can identify with any of those issues, if you want to have a chat to Julie about any issues that you might have or any habits you want to break, weight loss, smoking, whatever it might be, then don't hesitate to give Julie a call. And as mentioned, her website is www.jmhypnotherapy.co.uk. Okay, it's time to wrap the show up for this week. How quickly time flies. So before we go, just a quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can drop me a line there if you want to contact me by email. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. So please drop me a tweet between now and next week's show if you'd like a shout out. And you can also find the show's Facebook page by searching Health Matters Radio Show. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows at my website. So if you go to www.i-nutrition.co.uk/media, you can find all the shows back to show number one. You also, if you'd like to listen to the shows again on the podcast, if you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find previous shows there, and also on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/ The Health Matters Radio Show. If you'd like to come on the show as a guest, as Julie has done this morning, and talk more about your business, please contact me via my website and we can have a chat. And also, if you would like a shout out or ask a question, or would just like to say hello for the next show, please do drop me a tweet via Twitter. The next show is next Monday at 11 o'clock. The show goes out live every Monday morning. It's been great to have Julie on the show this morning, so thank you again for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed the content of the show. I hope that you've taken away some information that you might be able to put into your own life that will help to improve your diet or your lifestyle or your general well-being. And if that's the case, then mission accomplished. And I hope you've enjoyed the music. Each week I'm going to take you back to a certain year. And as I mentioned, this year was 1979. So we've had music from Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. We've had music from the Buggles. We've video killed the radio star. And I'm going to play you out with a great song to get you going this morning. It's a classic by Rainbow. It's Since You've Been Gone. So until the same time next week, I hope you have a happy and healthy week, and I will catch up with you next Monday.
to me.